is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 250. Oh, can you believe it? 250th episode of The Next Step, a podcast all about life and love, about spirituality, about, oh, finding how it all connects, how that next step brings it all together, finding that little puzzle piece that lets you see the entire picture. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Hey, The Next Step is being brought to you by Epostle.net and is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. If you're ready, let's take the next step. episodes. Quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Hey, welcome. It is the first full day of spring. We are a day after the vernal equinox. Yesterday, we celebrated that beautiful moment when the eggs stand on their heads, don't they? Well, if you're on the equator or something like that. Anyway, this is the first official full day of spring for those of us here in the northern hemisphere. And those of you down in the southern hemisphere, well, welcome to autumn, I guess, right? And I know you're getting a lot of attention these days, a lot of attention, because the new Pope has arrived from the southern hemisphere. That's pretty impressive. Did you watch the inauguration? That was, well, first of all, I had to wake up in the middle of the night to do it, because surprisingly, you couldn't find coverage the following day. I really am glad that I woke up and watched it, because the following day I was looking for coverage for things. Well, and yeah, there's bits and pieces up there on YouTube, but the entire full coverage was given by one of the networks. I believe it was NBC up here. And we watched it and fell asleep through some of it too, but it was very, very impressive. Okay, what got you? I'm going to bet that it's the same moment that got me too. I know, it was very, very impressive, very solemn, very, a lot of dignity. It was just beautiful. His words were so impressive, just the humility and especially his call to aid the poor. I mean, it got us all. But it was that one moment, you know, the Pope Mobile, first of all, to see it without all the protective glass reminded me of the old days. I know there's like generations that have grown up without seeing the old Pope Mobile when there was no glass. And then to see him go around with the people, and God give him the strength and protect him and give him the energy to continue doing that. But it was that one moment when he stepped down and there was a severely disabled person, and he just went up to him and he kissed him. Oh, that got me. That got me. It was just a moment where, you know, you think of Christ, you think of St. Peter, you think of the apostles, and their interaction with the people. It was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. And so it was with the entire inauguration. And it was especially interesting for me, watching as an Orthodox priest, to see the customs of the West, and another reminder that it was an inauguration and not a consecration. Whereas with the Catholicoi that we're familiar with, the Catholicoi are consecrated to that position, essentially making it another order of the church, another rank of the church. And our Catholicos are consecrated with the Holy Chrism, whereas this was an inauguration. And subsequently, there were opportunities for East and West to come together too, because at this inauguration of Pope Francis were in attendance representatives of the Eastern Orthodox Church, primarily Patriarch Bartholomew, who was there. Now, what's interesting about Patriarch Bartholomew, if you were listening last week, I went into some description of how Pope's, the apostolic authority, the apostolic chair, so to speak, that the Pope is in direct line with Saint Peter, as the Catholicos Catechin is in direct line with the apostle Saint Thaddeus. And in Istanbul, or Constantinople, as it was once called, there is His Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew. I'm taking my time because I'm going to have a lot of names to pronounce right now, and not to be confused with Saint Bartholomew, who came to Armenia after Thaddeus. Okay, anyway, let's back up, okay? So in Istanbul right now is His Holiness the Patriarch, the Ecumenical Patriarch, who is the first among equals, and he is Patriarch Bartholomew. Now he's in Istanbul, and he can trace his succession, in other words, his lineage, his ecclesiastical lineage to the time of Christ, via the apostle Andrew. Now, why am I excited about that? Well, think about it for a moment, okay? Patriarch Bartholomew, Pope Francis, they are meeting one another at the inauguration of the Pope, and they are both successors of two apostles, right? And those two apostles happen to be St. Peter and St. Andrew, who happen to be who? Brothers. Biological brothers. Remember? Go back to Holy Scripture. It is St. Andrew who is the Nachagoch, the first called apostle. And he goes and tells his brother Peter, we have found the Lord. We have found the Messiah. And so Andrew and Peter, brothers, biologically, brothers by the apostolic creed, and now their successors. Today, Bartholomew visiting Pope Francis in Rome. And I'm just taking my time again because these words are, I'm trying to make sure that I don't say a saint and a pope and everything. We have a lot of titles to go through right now. But basically, they are meeting in the Vatican, right? At the inauguration of Pope Francis. The Patriarch, the Pope, successors of St. Andrew and St. Peter meeting one another 2,000 years later, and along with it comes 2,000 years of history, because what's noteworthy about this meeting is that it's the first time that the Ecumenical Patriarch has gone to Rome for the inauguration of a Pope. And what's noteworthy about this was, well, 1,000 years ago, these two had basically excommunicated one another. Yes, that's what's usually referred to as the Great Schism, the Big Schism. This is what split the East and the West. So you had you had the Roman Catholic Church, and then you had the Eastern Orthodox, and this separation that took place. And of course, this was brought together. Actually, I think it's going to be 50 years next year when the Pope at that time, it was John the 23rd, I believe. And the Ecumenical Patriarch had met in Jerusalem 50 years ago. And since that time, there's been what is known as the Ecumenical Movement, or this movement to bring together all the Christian communities under Christ. And let me say it that way. It's more complicated than that, and forgive me if I don't get into too many of the details, because in all honesty, these are things that are left for diplomats, left for people who are contemplating the big picture. And I don't want to be so negative, or I don't want to be a pessimist about it, but I think most of them know that it probably won't happen. Not because they're not good people, not because they don't have Christ or the church in mind, but basically there are a lot of political issues. Political in the sense that there are the ethnic churches, there are situations of real estate. And so at this point, it's just very nice to see that these brothers in Christ, that there is a respect among them, that there is a respect and an honor, that they are recognizing each other's titles and each other's religious heritage, so to speak, the tradition from which they come. And God give them the wisdom, God give them the strength to be able to iron out so many of the difficulties that are out there. But I think we all agree that the power of Christ is one that heals, the power of Christ is one that can bring peace in this world. And that is what's so beautiful about all of this that's going around right now around the Pope. Because with the Pope's inauguration, we now have an opportunity, right? We have an opportunity for people to come together, for people to be to demonstrate that respect, to start talking about the issues that are important to talk about, that basically through Christ we can bring peace in this world. Anyway, we got started on this topic because I was remembering that we are celebrating the equinox up here in the Northern Hemisphere, and we made mention of the Southern Hemisphere, and certainly with the Pope coming from Argentina, did you see the flood of people from Argentina going to Rome, going to Italy, going to the Vatican? And one particular video that I caught was the president of Argentina. She was in the papal office, and now you got to remember that he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. So they had opportunity with the president of Argentina. They had many opportunities to react, and in fact, on issues of morality, on issues of societal justice, they were at odds. Many times they were seen as adversaries. I don't know if that's the right word right now, but this is how I read it. And here she was going to Rome to congratulate him. And a beautiful little video because she's at a loss for protocol. How do you greet the Pope? Do you kiss him? I mean, we were at least two people that were inside the same city in the same country working for the people at one point, and here we are now, your Pope and President meeting. So that was an interesting video. It showed the changes that take place when you rise to these positions. Anyway, you know what? It gives me an idea. There is a wonderful site, and I've been following it all on there. It's called RomeReports.com. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes so you could check out all kinds of videos about the Pope's inauguration. And I just want to reiterate what I talked about last week. It's not a question of the Pope being Roman Catholic and we're doing an Orthodox. It's an opportunity for us, an opportunity to focus on something greater than ourselves, and certainly something that is so needed in the world, and that is the love of Christ. And so if the Pope can get us there, if the Patriarch can, if the Catholicoi can get you there, I mean, I talk about a branded Christianity. I'm talking about a Christianity that is full of love and passion and compassion. And in that sense, what we call Armodoxy today is not just the Armenian Orthodox tradition, but it is a tradition that is influenced by the factors that are at play in the world today. And certainly when you talk about a pope, somebody who's responsible for over a billion people on earth, whether you're a follower or not, you have to be in awe, and you have to respect the fact that people's minds and the influential position that he's in. And if he can bring people to Christ, that's beautiful. I want to share with you the message that Saint... I told you I was going to do it. Patriarch Bartholomew, not Saint, okay? I'm telling you, it's like exciting being Orthodox. You've got all these saints, patriarchs, popes, all kinds of things, Catholicoi on top of it. Anyway, the message that Patriarch Bartholomew gave to the Pope at his inauguration, and I'll leave that as we go into our song for the day, and then I'm going to come back with some more thoughts about like how to put all this together. You know, as I'm doing these podcasts, and I'm getting so much feedback from all of you, I'm realizing that these are like little puzzle pieces. I used to think that, you know, you can find a little puzzle piece and put it into the picture, and then you'll understand the whole thing. But how about the idea or the metaphor that these are all puzzle pieces, and think about a giant puzzle that we may not know, like we don't have the box to look at it, to see what it all looks like. So we're just like adding along, and we're seeing, and it's developing into something. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay, so this is from His Holiness, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, in an address that he made to His Holiness Pope Francis at the Vatican at his inauguration, and this is dated yesterday, March 20th. So this is at a formal reception, by the way, in honor of the church and religious leaders. Your Holiness, In the name of the Lord of Powers, we wholeheartedly congratulate you on the inspired election and deserved assumption of your new high duties as First Bishop of the Venerable Church of Senior Rome, defined by the primacy of love. How's that, huh? You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's protocol. There's some of this that is protocol. There's some of it that's called the weight of Eastern Orthodoxy. When we do things, there's a lot of flower to it, too. You know, there's a lot of flowery language that's put on, and there's a lot of weighty language. Try to sift through, and you're going to hear a beautiful message here. On this throne, you succeed Pope Benedict XVI, who boldly retired for reasons of health and fatigue, a man distinguished for his meekness, theology, and love. The task and responsibility before you are immense, before both God and humankind. The unity of the Christian churches is surely our foremost concern, as one of the fundamental prerequisites for the credibility of our Christian witness in the eyes of those near and far. In order to achieve this unity, we must continue the inaugurated theological dialogue so that we may jointly appreciate and approach the truth of faith, the experience of the saints, and the tradition of the first Christian millennium shared by East and West alike. It should be a dialogue of love and truth in a spirit of humility, meekness, and honesty. So what Patriarch is referring to, of course, is that big schism which took place 1,000 years ago. So it really defined the first millennium as a united church. And, of course, we as the Armenians and the Copts and the Ethiopians will, you know, I'm gonna use the broad brush right now when we talk about the Eastern Orthodox tradition. It really is a mindset more than the canonical issues that I want to get into right now. So understand it in that spirit. Okay. After all, the global economic, this is His Holiness continuing, after all, the global economic crisis urgently mandates the coordination of our humanitarian action, in which you are well experienced as a result of your long and fruitful ministry as a good shepherd in Latin America, where you pastorally witnessed, like so few others, the bitterness of human pain and suffering. Those who have must be motivated to offer willingly and gladly to those who have not. In this way, peace will be secured through justice as the sole universal request and the basic expectation of all nations. We must feed the hungry, clothe the naked, treat the suffering, and generally care for the needy, so that we may hear from our Lord, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." The selection of your beloved and esteemed Holiness, of a lifestyle of simplicity, has highlighted, and will continue to highlight, your priority for what is essential. This fills the hearts of everyone, your faithful and all people in general, with a sense of hope. It is the hope that this priority will be applied broadly so that judgment and mercy, as the essence of the law, may prevail in the church. Throughout the 2,000-year history of the Church of Christ, certain truths of the sacred gospel were misinterpreted by some Christian groups, resulting in secular misconceptions that have unfortunately spread in Christian circles today. Thus, the burden of our obligation and responsibility is to remind ourselves, each another, and the entire world, that God became human in Jesus Christ in order that we may lead a divine way of life. Indeed, God is the Lord and has appeared to us. The one who created all things in the beginning, who guides and provides for all things, descended to the depths of death on the cross in order that, through his resurrection, he may demonstrate that blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and in his name alone to serve his people, so that we may all be united, and that Christ may be all things and in all things. The world is the domain where we realize the spiritual way of life, where we achieve our integration into the body of Christ, and where we are brought through him into eternal life. The church consecrates this earthly life, although it does not consummate its mission in this earthly life. We all realize and recognize this truth, which is why, as pastors and faithful alike, we travel this way of truth, acquiring the heavenly through the earthly. As the Ecumenical Patriarch and the Worldwide Orthodox Church of Christ, we are certain that your venerable and dearly beloved Holiness, who commences this historical journey with such favorable auspices as Bishop of Rome, will, together with all those who are willing and able, exhibit special concern for the reparation of secular trends so that humanity may be restored to its original beauty of love. We fervently pray with all Christians as well as with people throughout the world that your Holiness will prove effective in this deeply responsible and highly onerous task. May our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed and glorified. Thanks be to God, who in every period of time raises up worthy leaders deserving of their calling to lead and guide his people for the adoration of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the message of His Holiness Bartholomew, the Ecumenical Patriarch, to His Holiness Pope Francis at his inauguration. There's a lot of meat in this statement. It could be dissected and dissected over and over, bits and pieces. So much beauty in there and so much love expressed. And I want you to take it back to what I said earlier. This is the love of brothers. This is Andrew and Peter coming together. 2,000 years later, talking about a church that has had problems, that has had ills, that has had bitterness, that has had, unfortunately, secular influences that have divided people. Two brothers coming together and saying, we can do it. And all I could say to this beautiful statement of Patriarch Bartholomew is, amen. May we all work towards that. May we all extend ourselves in our prayers for the spirit that is alive in these people. Now, there's a lot to say about this, too. There's a lot to say that what brought us to this time that made this possible. Now, remember, I mean, we are a podcast. We are once a week. Check out last week. Check out the week before. We've been talking about it. I'll give you some hints. We're going to take a little break right now. I'm going to play you a song that you probably have not heard before, okay? This is from a new CD. It's actually a collection of 9 CDs called Avak Shabbat. It is the Holy Week on 9 CDs. I'm going to play you a selection of the hymns that are proper for this coming Saturday, which is the Raising of Lazarus service. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. Sit back right now. Close your eyes. Of course, unless you're driving. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Vogolmia in sastvat kavya zanoren utyunasi borichore kerpyan kentanyas parabani Barzus, I saw Marta Sira Besta Kitch, Ibetania Yertalans Nare, of Purgenas Medievois, Vogormia Amen. Bona ta sus Maria, manska tatia, arta sveserie vasa zetsa nosa, urie.
That you probably haven't heard this, probably haven't heard it just done so perfectly and so beautifully. If you have heard these hymns, actually, this is one hymn off of many. It's a 9 CD set. You can imagine it's a bulky thing. I just purchased this a couple weeks ago. I saw it at the Diocesan bookstore, and it is called Avak Shabbat, the hymns of the Armenian Church for Holy Week, and it goes through each day of Holy Week. The credits on there says that it was recorded in 2011 at the VEM studio. Of course, that our listeners have heard of them. We've played many of their tracks in the past and doing all kinds of spiritual work over there, as well as some secular, beautiful, beautiful secular music that comes out of the VEM studios. But this particular collection is so important to have documented, because tragically these hymns, these offices, the entire Holy Week is not really celebrated the way it should be, nor is it anywhere outside of the monastery setting. And so, for instance, this coming Saturday is actually the beginning of Holy Week. It is not Palm Sunday, and mistakenly people show up at church and they see the curtain opened, and they don't realize that on Saturday there is a service of opening that curtain after 40 days, and it corresponds with the raising of Lazarus service. And so Holy Week in the Armenian Orthodox tradition is not something that you just commemorate, but you actually walk through it. You live through those days. And so when you come to church on a Palm Sunday, you actually have a procession that takes you around the church, the New Jerusalem. When you come Tuesday, and tragically, I think we're the only people that do this in Southern California. I know a few other churches that do it, but on Tuesday, there is the Office of the Ten Maidens. Now, I've been doing this now for the last 20, 25 years with the congregations where I've been assigned, but that's not to say that's the end of it, right? Because there is still Holy Monday, and many services and offices of that day, as well as Holy Wednesday, and then we get to Holy Thursday, and most people are familiar with the washing of the feet, but how about the institution of the Last Supper? And that is the entire divine liturgy with a very special, special message that comes to us from one of the early church fathers during that service. And so each service, even like when we get to Friday, when we have the burial service, we actually construct a tomb, and people are invited to go underneath the tomb to take their problems, to bury them as Christ was buried, as Christ descended into the earth. And then he rose, and so when you get to Easter Sunday, it's not just some kind of a statement that you throw out at people and say Christ is risen. It's actually you were living it, because you've lived through the Passion. Now you're living the resurrection. So it's really beautiful, and that's why I can't impress upon you enough how important it is that during Holy Week you don't just observe from a distance. You actually go and get involved in the Armenian Church, and you get out there and you live through these services. Hey, before we continue, you know what? That piece was a little bit too short for my taste. I'm going to play you another little selection. Okay, so the last one was from Lazarus Saturday. Here is a hymn that is from the Palm Sunday feast. And when we get back, I'll share some thoughts with you.
Ιερουσαλήμ νορ καγαμά
that little ding is a nice little touch, don't you think? Anyway, that is off of this new CD set collection called Avak Shabbat Holy Week, 9-CD collection. And we'll make sure that there is a link on today's show notes so you'll be able to order it. You'll be able to pick up a copy. If you have any trouble, it's at our diocesan bookstore. Sure, if you give them a call down there at the Western Diocese, they'll be happy to put it together, or just let me know. It's important to get this kind of beautiful music, this kind of tradition out into the hands of people. And certainly we'll do everything we can to make that possible. So do check out the show notes today. We'll have a link there. Okay, I want to do another quote, and this came about a couple days ago. Actually, if you've been following the Lenten Journey series that we have on Epostle, we did that in 2010, 3 years ago. And this year, we were able to begin the process of transcribing it. And in that process, we realized, okay, what it's one thing to talk, it's another thing to write down. And so what happens is you have these audio files, which are more casual, me talking, and then when you transcribe it, you get down to that form. How do you put it into a form? How do you communicate that out to people? So we're learning things along the way. But what got me was a couple nights ago, as one of the prayers, every Lenten Journey day ends with a prayer. And I did a prayer by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It was actually more of a meditation about costly grace. And this really hit me this past week. First of all, because last Sunday was the feast, the Sunday of Advent. It is the last Sunday in Lent. And we remembered the second coming. And in my sermon, I had referred to the idea of the cheapening of Christianity. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, check it out. Because lo and behold, I was quoting Karl Marx and his most infamous statement about religion being the opium of the people. And I shared this, especially in the community where I'm serving right now in Glendale. It is a community that economically is struggling. The people here are basic working class people, lower to lower middle class, and a lot of difficulties in their everyday life. And religion becomes an easy scapegoat for so many people. We see here in Glendale so many religious shows which are really capitalizing on the difficulties that people are having and really selling them a bill of goods that is damaging. And so I spoke about this last week, and lo and behold, during the week, when we did the Lenten Journey, I came across this small little thing about costly grace by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I found the corollary to that, which is cheap grace. I want to share that with you right now. It says, cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism and without church discipline, communion without confession. It's powerful, isn't it? Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Think about that for a moment. We've cheapened Christianity to that point where, you know, it's just something you select, and it's not an investment of yourself into it. Now, Bonhoeffer goes on. He talks about costly grace. It's the gospel which must be sought again and again and again. Remember, we were talking a few weeks ago about the born-again experience. Remember how I said it's not just an event that takes place. We're constantly being born again. There's opportunities to be born again by virtue of the word repentance. That's what repentance is. It's turning back. So Bonhoeffer says it's again and again and again. The gift which must be asked for. The door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is a grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. I gotta tell you, I am just going through a lot of emotions this Lenten period. It has been a beautiful Lenten season, and it's coming to an end. How did we say it? The lights are dimming on this Lenten season. It has been a good one. There's been many ups in it, and in particular this Lenten journey that we've been putting together. Hope you've been enjoying it, and I want to thank all of you who've dropped me lines and shared your comments about that. Right now we're going to have Anush do her pomegranate seeds, and it's not a big shift of gears, actually in the same light. It's towards the end of Lent, and here are her reflections.
The journey continues. Prior to Lent, I started my year off with the One Little Word Project. I blogged about it, my word for the year being balance. But then early in my Lenten journey, I decided that balance just wasn't going to work for someone like me that does so much teetering. Lent gave me that focus to really hone in on me, my life, what needed tweaking now, and what needs sorting through later. Balance had to take a back burner to peace. And so a few weeks ago, I declared my new word for the year, peace. And my Lenten journey is helping me to achieve it. One of the things I worked on and am still working on is keeping a check on negativity. I don't think of myself as being a negative person at all, but there are things in my life that I would like to change, and sometimes these things are not entirely in my control. Or maybe they are, but they require patience, also not one of my strong suits. This leads to a degree of negativity that tends to cloud over my days sometimes. So I have really been trying to make that a focus, an awareness, on my journey. So here's how the scenario goes. I'm at work, feeling like a square peg in a round hole, and I start getting all dark inside, and that leads me to a mental funk. A few minutes later, I'm assessing and stopping myself from going there. Okay, going deeper in, and I've been turning it around and trying to focus on the positive. I am alive, we're able to pay the bills, we ate today, I'm warm, you get the idea. And it has really helped me to work on the peace issue. The problems might still be there, and it's not that they're not going to get a serious looking at, but being negative in light of so much positive is just not very productive. And the second thing that I've been working on is gossip. Especially being on the receiving end. This one was difficult, and I'll tell you why. Like vegetarianism, when you don't partake in it, the person that you're not partaking with feels that you're judging them. And that's totally not the case. I've had to stop friends and say, if it's bad, please don't share that with me. I'm working on it for Lent. I didn't say what it was. In the event that we were in a group and there was conversation going on, I had to stop myself from commenting, which again is viewed as you being aloof for not wanting to participate. But I have to say that the feeling afterward is one of exhilaration. I remembered back a few years ago when I was much heavier than I am today. Because I wasn't happy with myself back then, I was hypercritical of others, whereas now the focus is more on self-improvement. The no gossip has also gone hand in hand with the no negativity thing. Gossip is negative, no room for it, and both of those have made me much more peaceful inside. My Lenten journey has helped me keep my focus on things. There is a lot of room for improvement in my life. I still do need to revisit balance and patience, but I have a feeling that they will eventually come. Even though Lent is almost over, the journey is really just beginning. Now it's time to take what I've learned about myself and move it forward. Of course, none of these things are possible without prayer, a dialogue between myself and God, which helps me focus and feel like I'm on the right track. This Sunday being Palm Sunday, I'm looking forward to taking communion again. It's been 6 weeks. There's a lot to atone for and a lot to be thankful for. I hope your Lenten journeys have been fulfilling as well. May God give us the strength to grow from what we've learned over this period of introspection and to carry it forward in our lives. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day filled with hope and ripe with possibilities.
Nice little segment to set us up for Palm Sunday coming up. And what did it mean? What did you go through, Lent? Thank you, Anush, for sharing that very personal description of your Lenten journey. And really, that's something that each of us has to do. We have to look back on our Lenten journey and say, okay, we did these 40 days. Now, how does that affect the 325 that are in front of us? So I hope that you had an opportunity to do that. I hope it was a beautiful and fruitful Lenten journey for all of you. Hey, listen, what we're doing over here and what you heard Anush do with their pomegranates is all part of this ministry. Last week when we got off the air, I got to tell you, it was very, very exciting. As you remember, our guest was Gala Danilova from Karabakh, from Artsakh. She was doing work on the landmine clearance project. And we were talking, and certainly she gave such a beautiful interview that, by the way, thank you very much for the comments that people sent in. And we were talking, and she said, you know what? I want to do something like this. And so we did a little bit of shopping. We got a few things together. And guess what? Hey, we're going to put together a podcast that's going to originate in Artsakh. And this will be the first one out there. And you know what? It's very exciting because not a week goes by where we're finding new means and new opportunities that technology is granting us. And, you know, we're ahead of the game. And it's thanks to you. It's thanks to your prayers. Thanks to your constant listening, feedback, your donations. Let me let Susie make her pitch right now, and I'm going to be back to kind of put it together, because one of the things that we talked about the Patriarch and the Pope really has been influenced by this leap in technology. Here's Susie. I'll be back in a second.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Like I said, this is important work that we're doing, and I want to just impress upon you how important your participation is. And this is not just donation. Donations are a very important part. It's making sure that we're funded. But at the same time, your prayers, your ability to forward this, to get the word out, letting people know what's going on here through Apostle. It's about Armadoxy and just getting the word out. Let's get a buzz going. We need to get that buzz going because, you know, it's so needed right now. When you look at what they're talking about, you know, when you go into an Armenian church, what they're talking about, or any of the traditional old churches, even the Roman Catholic, we talked today about the new Pope, but you got to remember on the ground level, at the parish level, there's a lot of difficulties that are caused by irrelevance. And we've got to be relevant. We've got to be talking to the times. And think about what happened in in Rome at the Vatican this past week, the inauguration, and all of these people coming together. It wasn't just the ecumenical patriarch, which you could say, okay, brothers in Christ, but you also had non-Christians there, and they were coming there to celebrate. And I'm not just talking about the Abrahamic traditions, the Jewish tradition, the Islamic tradition, but there was a lot of the Eastern culture, Eastern traditions that were there too. So now what's happening is our world is becoming smaller, and certainly technology has played a major role in this. When you think about that, Twitter is just, I believe it's today or just maybe a couple days ago, just celebrated its 7th birthday. Okay, think about 7 years. That's all. And look at what they're talking about in those 7 years. It really became the instrument by which people were communicating, by the instrument with which there was a revolution taking place. And there was an interesting story. One of the founders of Twitter mentioned that, yes, during the fall of Egypt, or the fall of the regime in Egypt, people were tweeting. And the State Department called up Twitter and said that, okay, we know that you're up for maintenance. We're asking you, for the sake of democracy. I know it sounds a little bit pretentious, but at this point, we need Twitter to stay up. Don't pull it down. Don't take it down even for maintenance, because it is being used in the struggle for democracy. And think about these two popes, this patriarch and a pope coming together. Think about the ecumenical movement. Think about the opportunity to communicate. And so people using technology. Now bring it back down to this very simple, little, tiny little podcast that's taking place. It's called The Next Step with Father Voskin. Think about Compass with Linda Zadoyan. Think about the Lenten journey. Think about Onush's pomegranate seeds. Think about Gala starting a podcast in Artsakh. It's all part of a movement. And this week you're going to hear Linda Zadoyan do a Compass, which is unbelievable, talking about women's rights in a different way. Not about, can a woman get up there and hold a candle and become a priest? No, it's about the essence of what does it mean to have human rights? What does it mean to have equal rights? And a lot of good stuff that's coming out. This is programming that we really need to give our priority attention to. And that happens when we can put people in charge, when we could pay salaries, when we can take care of things. And it happens when you become part of this ministry. So please keep us in mind as you're doing your donations, as you're giving out donation. And those of you in the United States know that April 15th is coming up. You need a donation. This is the one place that you can give. Not the only place, but this is the one place you can give and know that the Armenian Church, the Armenian Orthodoxy, is going to go forward, and your donation will be completely tax deductible. Yeah, not too many people get to offer that. We do. All right. With that being said, I want to thank you for all of your support, and thank you for joining us today. There was a lot more I wanted to share with you, but please follow our blogs. That's at armodoxy.blogspot.com, and follow all the good stuff that's going on at epostle.net. And of course, join us at the mothership, inhisshoes.org. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again next week. For Susie, our producer, Vahir, our webman, Anush with her pomegranates, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.